This summer, it finally happened. Brexit negotiations have begun. It's a historic moment, really, some pundits suggest, and bigger than anything else in the country's history. And it seems it all just started yesterday. Cameron calling for a referendum, Cameron resigning, Theresa May stepping in as the stable, secure, and sensible alternative to the pesky Oxford graduate. Oh wait, May's graduated from Oxford as well. Psht, don't let that hang in the air for too long, boy. I'm Nick Blake, and today we take on Brexit talks.
Theresa May has looked incredibly uncomfortable. She always looks like she's about to cough up an owl pellet. But rest assured, no matter how uncomfortable she's been in this election, her victory parade will be like Mad Max Fury Road. Jeremy Corbyn hasn't done too well in Scotland because Scottish people don't trust anyone who looks old but still has teeth. I think it's going to be sad watching Corbyn getting beaten, isn't it? It's not going to be like watching Ed Miliband lose. It's going to be more like watching Aslan dying in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. Do you know what my perfect result would be? If Corbyn got enough seats to form a coalition and Sinn Féin had to come and take their seats at Westminster. That'd be like the end of a movie, wouldn't it? Well, you might think that I don't have enough votes to pass my budget, but ladies and gentlemen, the IRA. The Queen's speech gets written by the IRA and she has to deliver it through a balaclava. UKIP have tried to reposition themselves because they got what they wanted. They got out of the EU. Nobody cares about your other positions. It's like hearing ISIS's position on wheelie bins. UKIP say they're worried about low-skilled migrant workers. They don't want low-skilled migrants coming to Britain. Yeah, wait till after Brexit. Wait till you see the British people who've been living in Europe who have to come back here. Wait till you see the skill sets that they're bringing to the table. My skills include being able to ask for the bill in Spanish and armed robbery.
That was Frankie Boyle explaining what the outcome of snap elections is going to be once the polls close. Well, the polls closed a while ago, Frankie, and you were mostly right. Tories won, Corbyn has done a bit better than expected, but the overall impression of Labour does leave a sour aftertaste. Let's break it down. May called snap elections to gain a stronger mandate in Brexit negotiations officially and to destroy the opposition in the face of Labour unofficially. Now, her campaign lacked in two key ingredients, namely policies and leadership. Jeremy Corbyn, on the other hand, has made a number of claims to boost his electorate power that made it shortly thereafter evident he is in no way, shape, or form ready to lead. Just take the tuition fee debacle. They're off! No more fees! What? We got 261 seats. It's imperative we keep tuition. Now that the Conservatives are faced with essentially the same House, except no majority and more Labourites, the Brexit talks begin. For more on this, we turn to Professor of Political History at the University of Nottingham, Stephen Fielding.
Titled to do what she is presently trying to do, put together a majority with the DUP. But I think perception is everything in politics. And while Theresa May actually won more votes during this election than even Margaret Thatcher did during the 1980s, she lost seats, and it's seats that count. So at the moment, most Conservative MPs are tolerating her, if only because they can't figure out who should replace her. And with the Brexit negotiations imminent, they don't feel that they could find a suitable replacement in time to get that person in place to be able to head up those negotiations. So she's really in post on tolerance, really. Britain is about to enter the most important negotiations in its history. And the Prime Minister had set out a very clear set of objectives, you know, leaving the single market, prioritising control over immigration, and being prepared to walk away without any kind of a deal at all. And at the moment, you're absolutely right, there are members of her own cabinet, particularly the Chancellor, and others within her own party who see this weakened Prime Minister as an opportunity to pull back on some of those issues. So what we have got is a Prime Minister with an agenda for negotiations, which is not at all clear, and she is not in control of that agenda.
That was Stephen Fielding illuminating us on how these negotiations are to affect the UK. It all seems complicated, I admit, with a number of strange names attached to the process, but that's just legalese, a special form of doublespeak people at the top levels use to conceal their true intentions from the average folk who, let's face it, have not been educated in Oxford and therefore will not be able to readily identify rat. For a less elaborate way, however, to what the entire debacle was about, we turn to John Oliver from Last Week Tonight.
Now, the whole point of May calling this election early in the first place was to strengthen her hand going into Brexit negotiations. And though it has done the exact opposite of that, tonight, let's take a look at what those talks are going to involve. Because talks are set to begin a week from tomorrow. And they need to be completed by March of 2019, which is not a lot of time to do something incredibly important and incredibly complicated.
Britain wants out of the EU, but we've been in for more than 40 years, with our countries, our systems becoming more and more tangled up with each other, more and more enmeshed. And we only have 2 years to hammer out a divorce deal.
It's true. This is going to be a messy, complicated divorce. And it's a rough analogy, but try and think of it this way. Imagine if Florida wanted to secede from the Union. Nice, right? But think about everything that would actually entail. Florida has a border with Alabama and Georgia that would potentially need patrolling. Any Florida goods going over that border, like oranges or meth, would likely be subject to tariffs. And then you'd need to decide whether Floridians would be welcome to live and work in the US or Americans welcome in Florida. And that's before you even get into the tricky question of who's forced to take custody of Hulk Hogan. The point is, Florida and the US splitting up would be an immensely complicated process. It's a great idea, and we should definitely do it, but it wouldn't be easy. And Brexit is going to be vastly more difficult and more expensive too. For a start, a so-called divorce bill needs to be negotiated where the UK settles financial commitments that they made while a part of the EU. And some estimates put that as high as 100 billion euros.
That was John Oliver from Last Week Tonight explaining snap elections, the Brexit talks, and how far a simple laugh can go. All of the aforementioned events are taking place at a weird time as well. It's been a month since almost deliberate terrorist attacks began taking place. First Manchester, then trucks plowing through the streets of London, knife-wielding jihadis, etc., etc. All of this seems to be coming in at a sensitive time. However, many of the key issues remain unaddressed. Even though UK media does produce a massive volume of commentary about political, social events, and many of the bigger questions still linger. Here's Jonathan Pye from The Weekly to explore why.
Well, Theresa May suspended her campaign for 24 hours, not that you'd notice. Her campaign has mainly been about locking journalists in cupboards and hoping no one realises that she's yet to answer a single question adequately. Jeremy Corbyn suspended his campaign too. If by suspend his campaign you mean blaming Theresa May for the terror attacks and calling for her to resign. All right, mate, calm it.
Well, everyone seems to be blaming each other. Do we know who is to blame?
What, apart from the evil bastards themselves? I can say bastards, right? Yeah. Who's to blame? God? I'd quite like a word with him because I'm convinced he's involved. Look, this is the problem. When someone is running around stabbing people whilst shouting about God, then you have to conclude that it's got something to do with God. People feel uneasy talking about this. These extremists are not representative of Islam, but it's not connected. Ignoring the religious element isn't helpful in my view. Sensitive topics need more discussion, not less. And the less we talk about this, the more the racists and the bigots use it to smear all Muslims and attack immigration, which is exactly what the terrorists want to achieve.
And to divide our society.
No. I don't buy that, Charlie. They don't want to divide us. They want to kill us. They want to divide our heads from our bodies. That's it. They hate everything and everyone in our society, including Muslims.
All right, so what's the answer then, Jonathan?
Well, we need people to feel comfortable having a serious, civilised debate around divisive issues. When people feel they can't express their opinion for fear of looking like a bigot, look what happens. You get Brexit, or worse still, Donald Trump.
That was very funny, Jonathan Pye, the disgruntled journalist from The Weekly, giving us a scoop into what the terrorists want and what the public is not doing. Stay vigilant, folks, and educate yourself. I've been Nick Blake, and you've been listening to As If.